ICT was mentioned by Treasury recently as the one sector that can help lift our anemic growth rate. And while we're all scratching around for solutions to grow the economy, the question is, with all the regulatory uncertainty created by the ECA Amendment Bill, which has been called the ICT sector's mining charter by Vodacom CEO Shameel Joosub, whether or not a Digital Revolution Commission, which was announced by the President, will be enough to revive ICT in the country. Christoph Pinnaar, Director and National Head of the Technology and Sourcing Practice at Cliftica Hofmeyr, welcome to the Digital Economy slot.
Thank you, Michael.
Now, the President made this announcement during his inaugural State of the Nation address of this establishment of a Digital Revolution Commission. It hasn't received much media attention. What's happened here? What's the aim and the objective of the Commission?
Well, I think it's definitely, you know, very encouraging to see that, you know, government actually acknowledging the role that technology stands to play. You know, in the future of South Africa, and especially when one talks about economic growth. But it's very important that the legal framework in place must support this vision. And just to respond to your question regarding whether, you know, it has received much attention in the media, initially, I saw a few articles and, you know, participated in a number of discussions. But you know, it's been quiet for the last few months.
So this commission, what is its actual aim? What is its mandate?
My understanding of it is first to focus more on transformation in the information and communications technology industry. Secondly, to align South Africa as a country to take advantage of technological advances, and also to improve service delivery to citizens through the use of technology, because there are definitely many opportunities to do so. You know, if one just looks at, you know, application processes by Home Affairs, licensing application processes, etc. You know, technology can streamline those and make it more efficient and, you know, save us all money.
That's what we're actually going to be talking about on the panel in a few short moments. But the question that springs to mind is whether or not the current regulatory environment and the legislative environment actually gives effect to that, because what we see, especially in the e-government sphere, are some pockets of excellence. The Gauteng Treasury has got a great open tender system that they're trialing, and all over the place it looks like government is working almost disjointedly. We're not seeing too much by the way of alignment between what's happening from one municipality to the next, or even at a tiered level between local, national and provincial government. And surely interoperability and implementing systems that are coordinated is key if we're to get some of the benefits and some of the benefits of scale that ICT integration can bring.
I absolutely agree with that. There is currently no centralized kind of governance body or process in place to coordinate those efforts. And if one looks at the great strides made by the private sector, you know, over recent times, regarding like things like fintech and so on, then there's definitely a lot that I think the public sector can learn by, you know, from the private sector. And I think, you know, increased collaboration between the two is absolutely essential.
And if we look, I mean, government faces some tough choices here between equitability, transformation and efficiency. For an example, National Treasury awarded Vodacom a very large 5 billion rand four-year contract in October of last year in a competitive process. We then had the Competition Commission announce that it's investigating the contract, but it said it's got no reason to suspect Vodacom violated the Competition Act. And perhaps this highlights exactly what some are actually saying, that the mobile industry currently is tantamount to a soccer league where the rich clubs keep on winning. So you've got a lobby on the one hand saying well, government has to intervene. But if government wishes to pick winners and losers, which is itself debatable, perhaps a far less intrusive manner would be perhaps for the government to use its spending power to influence outcomes. However, if it goes for the lowest cost bidder, it's going to be contrary to the government's transformation initiative sometimes. So it seems to be very disjointed.
Yes. So obviously, it's extremely expensive to operate, mobile infrastructure, and billions are being invested every year in upgrading those, and that obviously creates a barrier to entry for smaller players. So you do end up with a semi-monopolized situation, and I know that the Electronic Communications Amendment Bill seeks to establish what is referred to as a wholesale wireless open access network, and that is an effort to reduce duplication of infrastructure by encouraging service-based competition rather than access to infrastructure.
But with that, you also run the risk of creating another inefficient monopoly, and we haven't seen a Huawei land successfully. I know Mexico is often cited, but even they are having some issues with their Huawei. And very interesting, Christoph Pinard, director at Cliff Decker Hoffmeyer, with the Digital Revolution Commission, and whether or not it'll be enough to revive the ICT sector.